All right.
Yeah.
How the last couple of days been? I know you said you made four more offers on, Tuesday?
Yeah, I've got another 7 this week, so. That's
7 since Monday?
7, totally.
Nice. What kind of response are you getting?
What's that?
What kind of responses are you getting?
Contract? No. I was hoping I'd get something under contract this week, but.
Do you have any verbal acceptances?
No. I contacted the list of 7 that I sent Friday. I sent them a text yesterday saying, hey,
okay.
You know, I just checked following up, seeing what you thought about my offer. One guy that got back to me, and he's a buy and hold guy. He's got a bunch of.
I'm losing you. Mike, are you there? No, we must have lost him.
How many we got on, fellas?
Hey, just 2 of us, but I was talking to Mike, and then he just disappeared.
No.
So he'll, I don't know what happened. Who just jumped in?
Lee.
What's happening? Yeah, Michael hopefully climbed back on. Call back in. I think we lost him. Lee, what's happening?
Oh, man, I'm doing pretty good. How y'all doing? How y'all doing in y'all market?
Doing good. Good.
I got to reach out with some cash buyers, man. That's my biggest thing, my biggest setback right there. Well, y'all
not having
any luck with me?
Not having any luck with cash buyers? What do you mean?
Not having any luck with cash buyers. I got a couple, but that's about it.
Okay. How many have you talked to lately? Okay.
Yeah, I know what happened.
So, Lee, I'll pick up with you in a second. Mike's back on here. So, yeah, we lost you there.
Yeah, it just went dead. The service was gone, so I don't know what happened. But anyway.
Yeah, weird. So tell me, what's going on with these offers? You followed up with a couple. So were these
good?
Yeah. Were these properties you offered on that have a tenant in them already, or they were on Go
that,
Section 8? Or
some of them I got from Go Section 8.
Okay.
One lady had 2 properties, and I got off Go Section 8, and she actually was inquiring if she was looking at adding. She said, "No, I've got 2. I'd like to get rid of." So I got the addresses, gave her an offer. She got back with me and said, "Nah, she owes a ton on them. One
gotcha.
Of them she has a tenant in place. The other one is vacant, but she said she had owed like $90,000 on one of them, and the numbers just weren't going to make it. And the other one, same kind of deal. It just was. So that one, those 2 went dead. The other guy that has the 22 properties gave me 4 addresses."
Okay.
Same thing. Went through, plugged it in. So he's the other one that responded back. So I'm still waiting on one other person to get back with me on those. And he's got a property. And then the ones that we had sent out this week, a couple of them were responding a little low. One of them really didn't want to give any information on the property.
Okay.
Asking him, my sales guy's asking him, "So what do you got? What's the property?" He's like, "Well, give me an offer." He's like, "Well, can you tell me a little bit about the property? I'll talk to you about the property after I get an offer." Okay. So
yeah.
I gave him an offer. So I gave him an offer, just threw a number in there, like come in like $85,000. So we'll see where that goes. That's just a buying guy, but
that's a little bit strange. Most of the time people will be willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
So how many I know you made some offers from Go Section 8, and then who do you have calling the vacant leads that you generated? Your salesperson?
Yes.
Okay, and how many of those have you made offers on?
7.
Okay.
So all the ones this week are from him.
Okay, gotcha. And how have those gone? Because here's the thing. You definitely want to make, talk to landlords on Ghost Section 8 and Craigslist, that kind of thing. You're already talking to investors. So it's not that you can't find deals there, but that's always got to be secondary, right? So get on with the homeowners that are not investors. They own a vacant house just because of whatever, right? Like my guy Chris was talking to a guy today, and I bought it a year ago. I plan to fix it up. And just, one thing led to another. The place still doesn't have a kitchen in it over a year later. I mean, he's done plumbing and electrical in a year, right? So he's willing to talk.
Yeah,
we're
going
to go do an inspection
like
on it. So, okay,
well,
good.
I got a guy that. That stuff last week was, getting my sales guy on the phone. He got on the phone, like a day last week, and I just had followed up on those other leads this week, and from here forward, we're just pushing forward. And as I'm making calls to buyers, I'm asking them, and that's how those other ones came through. I was checking them for buyers. They said they had property, so. That's kind of – I'm dealing with that side of it and making those contacts. My sales guy is just on the phone on that list.
Okay. Beautiful.
So,
if you're doing in addition to, that's great. I just want to make sure you're gonna have a better success rate with homeowners outside of investors. Like somebody calls up and they won't give you any detail on a property and they just say, make me an offer. Whatever. I mean, you went ahead and made one, which is fine. I typically blow those people off because you're going to find some goofballs out there. But, and then a couple, where the lady sounds like she's just over leveraged. So I'm looking at one right now. The homeowner owes 39, and we think the property's worth 45. So, we're trying to figure out. I don't think we even have a deal there, but that's, that's part of it.
Yep.
So.
Yep, trying to solve their problem.
Yep, absolutely. We can't help everybody, but it's good stuff. I mean, all the right things are happening here. Talking to people, making offers daily. I mean, if you can get to an offer a day, obviously you want to get beyond that.
Yeah.
If you can get a salesperson out of the gate, say, hey, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, and an offer a day is gonna, whatever the slogan needs to become.
Offer a day gets us all paid.
Something like that, And then from there, I mean, you want to ramp things up. We say, okay, we go to two a day.
Yeah.
10 offers a week, 5 days, five business days, we got to be at 10. And then you want to ramp it up, we got to be at 15. And it's really that's the magic stat. So,
My sales guy's been doing great job. I mean, out of the gate, my sales guy, he's on top of it. He's very interactive. Good feedback. He's able to, get some conversations going and kind of prying some information out. So I can't complain. I still need to set up that FreedomSoft. I was going to do that. And I've been dealing with it. I had a ton of problems that I emailed you on that zip code, in that area where I'm not getting much for information out of public record, and my skip tracer, I sent him back through. He went ahead and did a bunch of those, but it definitely slowed me up because there was probably 80 or 90 leads that I should have had ready to go this week, and it took until today to get them in the system so I could start having my sales guy call on them. So, but he's burning through them pretty quick. He definitely is making a lot of calls.
Yeah, so if you just kind of joining us here, Mike and I were talking. He has one of the counties. He was clicking the find owner button in FreedomSoft, and no data was pulling up. And so he shot us an email into the coaching center, and I went to our lead tech, Steve, with FreedomSoft, and I said, "Hey, what's going on with this? The find owner button in this area isn't working." And he said, "We have 3 records in that entire county." So that's pretty strange. That's an anomaly. Either the county, you've been able to find owner of record on the county website, right?
No, you just cannot. Okay. You can find all the property information, just the generals, the square footages, and asphalt, shingle, roof, all the technical information, but they don't list owner.
Not the owner. Okay. So it's something about the county. It's a little non-disclosure area, whatever the case. This happens to be. So, and that's just the reality of working this business. So,
and we're finding a way around it. We're navigating and getting information.
Yeah,
I think we're on the right.
What did you do for the solution if somebody else runs into it?
So, I'll have to find out exactly what my VA did. I'm not sure exactly where he went because I just got him in. He's in India, so they're off 13 hours from us. So I'll have to actually have him tell me where he went to get the information he did send in.
Nice.
I'm not sure.
He did a little online research and figured it out.
Obviously we had negotiated a price to have him do the original work, and then he came back to me and said, this is not going to go very fast, so we renegotiated.
Right.
And I threw him another $50 and said, hey, look, you know, is this going to work? And he's been doing a great job. He's very attentive.
Cool.
So I've been trying to take care of him.
Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, you find good team members in every spot. You know, do what it takes to keep them around. So,
yeah.
Good stuff, Mike. This is here's what I want to tell you. Keep the offers going out the door, right? Somebody's going to say yes. And when you have a new salesperson, you've got to do everything in your power to get a good deal tied up and get it sold. So a couple hats, right? Help them with the deals they're working, and then simultaneously you can be out finding buyers that have cash sitting that's waiting to be placed right now, so that when that deal gets tied up and as soon as title policy's pulled and everything looks good, you can get it to the closing table and get a check over to your salespeople. So, because then they get really sticky. Hey, we just I've got a new sales gal. So check this out. Starting on Saturday, she replied to our ad. She's currently working a sales gig. She gets paid 1% commission selling wedding planning. So a $4,000 sale, she gets $40. And she's busting her tail to go make it happen. And then we show up with this different compensation plan. And you can imagine the excitement, and she's ready to rock and roll. So I'm just giving you a little shot of perspective. We talk about it a lot of times that we have a cool opportunity for people. I just got my second guy hired. He started yesterday, and he was referred to us. So we've gone through a couple just like everybody else, right? We had another lady who said, yeah, I'm ready to go for the last 72 hours, and they just went missing. Just so, next, same stuff that a lot of you are going through. So I'm just telling you, though, this is a cool opportunity to be involved in real estate, helping homeowners solve problems, and we pay way better than a 1% commission. That's crazy. So cool. A little dose of perspective on what some salespeople are out there getting after. Clearly, that's a low percentage, but this company is able to hire people at those rates. So, pretty well. So yeah, Mike. All focus on finding buyers with cash in hand, and get one to the closing table. You can get your salesperson paid, and it's they're motivated now. They'll be all over it.
Make contact with a lady today that actually moves and manages properties, the foreclosures for the banks.
Yeah.
And it was just one of the ones we ran across. And she ended up telling me that, well, are you interested in any of them? Because the banks are doing quite a bit of their own rehabbing and must be trying to sell them. She says, well, we do have some that they don't want to mess with. Do you want me to let you know about those? Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
So she's going to go and get me an address tomorrow. She's a realtor. So
start building that network. You just don't know who you're going to come across.
No.
So we've been talking a little bit. Larry Potts was on Monday saying he talked to a guy that has access to international buyers and this and that and the other. And so Paul, my business partner, and I, we've been thinking, hey, we're going to sell the buyers in the States, but let's figure this international thing out. There's just endless amounts of money out there. And so it's just, it's kind of funny. So we've been putting our heads together. How are we going to do this? So I'm sitting in Starbucks today, getting some work done. These two guys show up at the table next to me, and I hear them. I've got my headphones in. I'm just kind of chugging away on a few things I had to knock out. And I heard them, one of them say real estate or investment or something like that. So I'm like, okay, they're talking real estate. So I wait till they're done. One of the guys takes off. The other guy stands up. I go walking over, and I said, you know, hey, I couldn't help but over here. You guys are chatting about real estate. What do you do? And so he's a young kid, real estate agent, that kind of thing. And so he and I talked for a few minutes, wants to be an investor, just kind of, you know, going to seminars, reading books, trying to figure it all out. And so I said, and who was the other guy you were talking to? Because he was older. And he said, oh, that's so-and-so. He's a property manager here in town, owns investment property all over the state, and specializes in working with international investors. And I was like, no kidding. Imagine that. You know, I'd like to chat with him, and then, you know, I was talking about him. How do you and I stay in touch? So it just, you know, when you get intentional about trying to figure things out or how you're going to find this particular person or whatever the case, you know, you start looking for it, and it'll show up. So you can stay on that path, Mike. Build that network, because you can't meet too many good people, and you just never know who you're going to run into, right? It's going to be banks that have deals. It's going to be, you know, eventually you're going to bump into these either these buyers or these acquisitions people that are working for these massive outfits that are buying multiple deals a month, and you know that network is everything. So good stuff. Stay on it. I know you will. I'm looking forward to how many offers you make between today and Monday.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Thank you.
Hey Lee, back to you.
Hey.
Man, we were chatting, and then Mike chimed back in.
Oh yeah, what's up, Mike?
Nothing. We were talking about buyers.
Yeah, you having a whole time
saying,
getting off this deal.
So
I think the thing is with the
do you have a deal that you're trying to sell right now, or you just need to
yeah.
be buyers in general?
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm running the deal I have is actually a buy and hold, and
okay.
I think the area in which it's in is not the best of areas.
Okay.
And most of the buyers I've been talking with, a few of them have been a fix and flip investor, so this property don't fit their criteria.
First of all, tell me what the numbers are on the deal. What are you trying to sell it for?
Actually, I dropped the price on it, so I'm selling it for $22,000.
How much work does it need?
Needs about $18,000.
Okay. $38,000.
Needs about $18,000. So we all in at $40,000.
Yep.
This is the same property that I said that the guy. Initially, the owner initially was going to rehab it itself, and he had already had, like, material and things, cabinets, doors, paint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so he
I
got,
remember that.
Yeah, it's the same property. So,
okay.
So the rent in the area is about $700. Go ahead, Mike.
All the materials are still on site and coming with it, right?
All the material is still on site and coming with it.
Okay. And what is it rent for? Did you just say $700?
It rent for $700, so we had about $490.
Yep, $490 times 12, $5,880 divided by $40,000, 14.7 cap at these numbers. So you're talking to fix and flip investors. Tell me how you're going to find, and then I'll give you some input on how are you going to find buy and hold investors. Because this is a –
Well, what I've – the things I've been doing, I actually been calling a lot of those buyers from the area, but
okay.
I haven't been getting too many people to answer the phone. So I don't know if it's the area code they send on the phone number or whatever. I speak with a couple guys. They say, you know, they bought properties, but they're really not, you know, buying like that. You know, they looking for maybe a property or two a year, but that's about it. I think a couple of guys say call back within like another 3 or 4 months because they bought so much inventory the last few months. They're not buying again until another 3-4 months from now because they bought so many. So I guess they're trying to get those properties together on the rehab side before they start, you know, buying other properties.
Right.
Teamed up with another wholesaler. and I was going to actually send him over an agreement for a 50-50 split. He bring in a buyer. Okay. But I'm thinking most of his buyers was probably other wholesalers because they was trying to get the price so low at like 10, like at 10. Well, if you can talk them down to 10 grand, I can get it sold quick. So I'm thinking their buyers were fix and flip. Like I said, it's clearly a buy and hold buyer with landlords. Then I went on section8.com. I didn't see too much on there because something on my own market. That's what I like to do, to find buyers and things like that. So I got this software, this GoRingless Extreme software. So tonight I'm going to send about 20,000 Ringless voice messages out, you know, to some cell phones and see can I get some buyers in that way. Out of 20,000 voicemails, I should get somebody who's looking to buy some properties.
Yeah, and specifically pull out. You need a buy and hold investor. So if you're talking to people that are saying, yeah, we bought a bunch and that's not it, that's fine. You want to talk to them, right? So keep them on your buyers list. But you've got to find, and you will if you keep looking, you've got to find that buyer that's always looking, and they're out there, right? So a couple more things. It sounds like you're about to send out a slide dial or something like that.
Yeah, it's like slide dial times, I mean, okay, times a thousand, like, you know. But what it does is get some lead scrapers. It scrapes any area, any category, any city, state. You can scrape people's cell phone numbers, and you can record a 60-second message, and you can blast that message out to over thousands and thousands and thousands of people at the click of a button. So,
holy smokes. What's the service called?
Do that. It's called GoRingless Extreme.
GoRingless Extreme, wow. I haven't heard of that one. Cool. Yeah. Here's the other thing. You want to pull out the buy and hold investor. So you've got to have an ad on Craigslist in the real estate section with a big headline, buy and hold investors, where are you at? And you can, right, you've got controlling interest in the deal. Just be sure you're congruent with what you have. But you basically have a contract for sale on a 15 cap deal. And you can tell the story. Or don't put anything in your ad. And just say buy and hold investors. You know, I've got a you can just be really vague. I've got a 15 cap contract that I'm looking to move. Here's your buy price. Here's your fix up. And here are rents. Put your number in there to specifically be pulling them out. The other thing is property managers. Have you called property managers in the area?
I called a few. And okay. I didn't get the response I wanted, so I kind of backed off of it.
Okay. So keep calling them. Call a bunch and say, you know, I'm a wholesaler in town. I've got a 15 cap contract for sale. Who do you know? Say, who do you know in your client base, you know, that's looking for a deal, 22,000 purchase price, needs about 18, a lot of materials are on site. Who do you have that can knock that out? So just assume that they know the right person. Right?
Okay.
Go to your title companies and start talking to them and tell them that same thing. Hey, I'm an investor in the area. You know, can you connect me? Who are your biggest buy and hold investors that you've closed with recently? Are you willing to share that info with me? Now, that's a little bit easier if you have a conversation with them, but you can still cold call that and just ask them and say, listen, you don't have to give me their number. Can I just give you, can I give you mine and will you pass it along for me? Right? That way you're not asking them to give up information about their client, but they, you know, see if they'll pass it along. Go to FreedomSoft in the buyer section. Go to your market, go back like 2 to 3 years, maybe 3 to 5. And there should be a couple in there that have bought hundreds over the last 3 to 5 years. So you've got to skip trace them and find them.
Okay. I didn't know that.
That's a good place. And it'll show you how many they bought in that time frame. So if you go back 3 to 5 years and you have, you know, 1, 2, 3 LLCs show up, it'll show you that they've bought 180 houses in the last 5 years. And so you can just grab the first few pages of results, you know, the ones who have bought, say, 25 plus, 50 plus. Also, go to your surrounding cities. If you have bigger markets in other areas, get a Craigslist ad there. They don't, you know.
Okay, I'll do that tonight.
If you're in the same, if you're in the same state, or you're just a little, you know, a little ways away. The other option, let me ask you this. You've done construction and fixed up a few, right?
Have I?
Yeah.
No.
Have you done flips? Okay, you haven't done construction before? Okay.
Nah.
I was going to say that's another option, is to figure out maybe with a partner, with a GC or something. You know, you could use private money, hard money, but you could close on this. You could figure out the renovation, put a buyer in there or a tenant, and then sell it as a turnkey. I mean, you could sell that any city USA looking for a turnkey buyer. So,
and I actually ran into this guy over the week. Well, one of my closest friends, he ran into this guy because he do a lot of marketing for his company he works with, and they market like Craigslist. I mean, not Craigslist, Coca-Cola and all these different big companies. He ran into this guy who's willing to offer 2% because he worked for like restorations. He worked with like the cleanups and the Hurricane Harvey cleanups and all that. So he, you know, he got the $1 billion company.
Okay.
And he's willing to do a lot of, he had so much material and so many workers that he need to work. And he came to me and said that, he'll up to 50,000. He'll rehab anything up to 50,000 at 2%.
What do you mean?
Talking 2%? Like 2%. If I got a $20,000 rehab.
Yeah.
He'll have his guys come in and rehab it for 2%. So you're looking at about $400. Because he say it's not about the money. He got so many people they need to work. He's got brand new equipment that he's never used. So he's just looking to put his team to work and use his equipment because it's just sitting there.
So do you have access to private money, hard money, whatever, if you decide you maybe want to take this thing down?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about now. My significant other, her uncle, he has like a lot of money. So I can just sit down with him and, you know, he has an investor mindset. Sit down with him and her mom, and I'm pretty sure I can get the money to actually buy it myself, since I don't really have to pay anything for the rehab up to $50,000. So I thought about
that
also.
Here's the thing. You don't have to know a ton about construction to get a couple bids. I mean, you can use FreedomSoft, print off a rehab estimate, and that allows you to show up with credibility and say, you know, here are the figures I threw together. You know, let me know what you can get this done for. You know, I've never really swung a hammer in my life, but you just kind of figure it out and go through it, hire people that know what they're doing. So I'm throwing this conversation on the table because, you know, depending on what is the appetite for, what are the buyers that you currently have, you know, you've got to be, if you want to be versatile, we've just got to have more than one option in the tank, right? And so,
gotcha.
You know, basically what Rob and Brad are doing is they said, what's the appetite in Memphis? Turnkey rentals. They said, okay, we'll figure it out. That's what buyers want. We'll figure, you know, he knows how to generate leads. We'll buy them. We'll figure out construction remote. So their guy, Andrew, goes there, what, every 2 weeks? Something like that. We'll get the crews in place. We'll manage it from afar. And, you know, we'll bring the market what they're saying they want. So I think at that deal, now here's what you said. You said it's a little bit tougher area, but it's a 15 cap deal. So if it's a C minus neighborhood, 15 cap is right on par with what would be acceptable. If you're in a B neighborhood, you're probably not going to get a 15 cap deal. You're going to get a 10. Right? So
yeah.
those numbers match where you're telling me that this property sits. Now, I don't think it's in a complete war zone from what you're telling me, but
no, I actually spoke to other homeowners that have property somewhere in that area, and, you know, I just you know, opened up a conversation like, "Hey, how's the neighborhood? Is it real?" She's like, you know, one lady, she told me like, "No, they're starting to come back through and, you know, revitalize the neighborhood and, you know, doing this and doing that." So
you know, she kind of informed me on the neighborhood, and she was like, you know, one weekend you should, you know, because I'm in Dallas, you know, she in Arkansas, so they not too far. She's like, you should come down, you know, take a look at the area, and, you know, but she actually said that they was doing some good things in the area. So, like I said, I'm pretty sure some investors out there. I just haven't, you know, dug deep enough to, you know, get the ear of those guys.
Here's another thing you can do. You can go to that construction person that you met who can do the job for 2% of the, basically 2% of the contract price or of the fix-up amount, right?
Yeah.
And you can move this to your surrounding markets and say, hey, it needs work, but, you know, I'll manage the construction for you or I'll oversee it. Say I'm not a GC, but I've got one here. I'll keep you in the loop on it. So what Rob was doing years ago is he started wholesaling. You know, he went through a coaching program. They taught him how to wholesale. And then he was thinking, how can I get paid again? And when he graduated college, he was an engineer and he's working for a construction company. So he knew GCs. And he had talked to a couple buyers and they said, yeah, I don't know how to do the fix up. I don't have time to do the fix up. I don't know anything about construction. He goes, well, you know, he just had a light bulb one day. He's like, I know contractors because I used to work for them. So he started asking a couple of these buyers. He goes, hey, you want to get in real estate. You have money to get in real estate, but you don't care to do the construction. He goes, what if I find you a great deal? I'll sell it to you, and then you can pay me, and I'll oversee the construction. And they're like, done. And so, you know, he'd wholesale the deal, make $7,000, and then oversee the construction. And all he did really was get a couple bids from a few different GCs. You know, make a recommendation to the owner. They still picked, and he just showed up, you know, once a week, took some photos, kind of oversaw the whole thing and played middleman, made another $2,500. So you've got some of the pieces
idea.
In play to pull off a few different options here.
Okay.
So I think you can still wholesale it. And if that's your primary, you know, if that's what you would like to do, you just got to beat the phones. There's no other way around.
Okay.
Get some ads out on Craigslist. Start calling title companies. Here's the other thing. You can call real estate offices. And I've talked about this here on the phone or on this call before, but call like a local REMAX or Coldwell Banker. Usually a newer agent that's, you know, working the floor will pick up and say, hey, I'm looking for the real estate agent in your office that has the reputation of for working with real estate investors. Who would that be? Who can you connect me to? And there's typically one or two in an office that everybody just knows. You know, they are investors or work with investors. Get them on the phone and say, because they're agents. A lot of times agents buy for themselves, especially buying homes and fix and flip. But they're in the business anyway. They're always looking at deals. And so they become investors. And so call up and see if you can talk to a few that way. And then just, you know, sell your deal. Tell the story. I've got to, you know, tell the story, right? It's got to be somewhat rehearsed. It's a little brick ranch, blah, blah, blah. It's over in this zip code. Here's the thing. Selling it for $22,000, needs 18. And is that $18,000 number accurate with all the materials on site? Or does it need less than that?
Well, actually, I think when I first put the deal out there, I put it out there for $20,000 or $25,000 based on the square footage. And when we spoke a couple weeks ago, and you was like, well, hey, you know, if it got the material in there, you was like, you can probably get $18,000, you know, for the, and then I added the $2,000 for the closing costs. So I'm putting the property, and I'm putting the $18,000 for the rehab and throwing in the $2,000 for the closing costs. So you all
gotcha.
In at, you know, 42. So it still puts you at a 14.
$18,000 is adjusted. It's a $25,000 remodel. We're calling it $18,000 because a lot of material on site.
Because it's like a 1,070 square foot property. It's not that big.
No, and that's the thing is 20. I mean, if it's completely destroyed, 25 would be the number, I would think. It's only 1,000 square feet.
No, actually, the homeowner, like I said, he was going to do the rehab himself because he was I think he had some construction, you know, background. And I think he got to the point where, you know, he got older and he just didn't have the time to do it.
he started putting sheetrock in the walls and doing all that. That's why he had so much material left. And then he just decided, you know, I don't have the time to do it. I'm just going to go ahead and sell it. So, you know, it's just been sitting there.
Do you have pictures of the inside that you can show?
Got pictures of the inside. He actually sent me a blueprint in which he, when he was going to he was going to redo it, he sent me, like, blueprints and all this other type of stuff with the property. I guess what he had in mind. It's a 2-1. And I think actually he was going to turn it into a 3-1, but he said he was going to rent it out at $750, you know, after he got done
with
it.
Yeah, for that extra bedroom?
Yeah.
And this thing's just looking better. So this is the story that you have to tell. So here's the thing. It's a 2-1, 1,000, whatever, but you can add a third bedroom. That gets the rent to $750. Now this deal even looks better. And $18,000 still might be high. It could be accurate, but it still might be high. You got to be saying, I think I'm overestimating a little at $18,000, because here's the thing. A lot of materials are on site, right? The previous owner or the current owner had all these good intentions, bought a lot of material, and just ran out of time.
Roof is about 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah. So, yeah, roof's less than 10. This is a good little deal. You just got to tell the story over and over and over again and find more people to tell it to.
Okay.
What's your contract date? When does it expire?
On the 5th, if I'm not mistaken. But I can always go to him and get an extension. Like, he's pretty knowledgeable, and he knows how it goes. So I've been completely transparent with him from day one. So
yeah, don't wait till the 4th if something's going to go sideways on the paperwork. Keep them in the loop. But, I feel like I think you've been hustling a little bit. You got to ramp it up. I mean, it's go time.
Okay.
You've got a deal. From what you're telling me, this is a deal. And so you just have to tell the story over and over and over again. You've got to talk to everybody you can. Call those agents and say, I just called up. Front desk person answered. I asked, who's the agent in the office that is an investor or works with investors, and they sent me to you. So here's what I have. This little deal, bam, it's a 2-1 now, a little over 1,000 square feet. There's room to add a third bedroom. That bumps the rent to $750. And at $750, so let's do the math on that. Because you can say, these are the numbers that you have to know. This is the story. If you leave it as is, it probably rents for $700, all in at $40. It's a 14.8 cap, right? If you can reconfigure it and get that third bedroom, get your rents up to $750. 70% is 5.25. Times 12 is 6,300. Divided by 40,000 is 15.75, 15.8. So just under 16. So these are strong numbers. These are strong buy and hold numbers.
Okay.
So
I just need to pick it up on my end.
You got to tell that story. Don't just tell the story. That's it. Stories sell. Tell the story to as many people as you can. This is a good little deal. And then get ready. Get your pictures on standby. Have them ready to go. If you don't have a website or a FreedomSoft website, that's fine. Get them on standby. Can you get people inside? Do you have access to the...
Yeah, I got a guy named Tony. He's ready to do some work now. So he's ready.
Beautiful.
So he got the pictures for him. I got pictures, and he told me, just to call him whenever I get an investor that want to go take a look at it. He'd meet him over there.
Okay. Yeah, this is just a matter of telling the story. So you got to get up. You got to set a goal tonight that I'm gonna tell this story to 15 people tomorrow, 20, whatever it takes.
Okay.
Whatever it takes, and get that.
I might reach out to some of my Dallas buyers too, because like I said, Arkansas is not too far from Dallas, so I might, tell some of my Dallas buyers too. I mean, buy and hold, like you said, that's strong.
I'm telling you,
they might be
interested. Tell them you'll be their eyes. But here's the deal: you can buy it from me for $22,000. I'll interview 4 different contractors for you. I'll get bids, and then I'll be your eyes here since you're remote. And and then figure out whatever. Maybe you build that into the price. Maybe they pay you, you know, say we'll tack another $1,500 on is all. We'll handle that later on, and I'll be your eyes on the ground. And then, I mean, literally, right? Make sure things are happening. Stop by once a week, and just keep it moving that way. And you can get paid another check. So this one has a few different options.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, tell the story. These are good numbers.
All right, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yep. Who else? Teen cap properties. I love it. And the reason I'm on a mission to find 6 to 10 cap buyers is because you can sell that thing for a boatload at $750 a month for somebody that just wants to buy the return.
Crazy numbers.
What's that?
I said, yeah, those are some crazy numbers. So I'm about to get on Craigslist.
Crazy numbers.
And a lot of ads.
And here's the thing. I'll be honest. I haven't found that buyer yet. I'm going to find them. But they don't seem to care about, from what I know, they don't seem to care about what the property's worth. They're just buying their return. It's just like buying a note. I mean, if you're a bank – right, banks don't want to own real estate. They want to own the paper. They want to own the note. And so, the value of the real estate matters, but at the end of the day, what they're looking for is the return. And so you get local, especially the locals in these markets, you're going to have a hard time selling them a deal for $80,000 if the comps say it's worth $50,000, right? They're just going to say, no, thanks. But somebody that is just buying the return, they're not looking at that number. Or if they're looking at it, it's not as important, right? Because you say, hey, this thing is rented at $750 a month. And they'll say, okay, that's the number that we're setting the value based on, is what it's the income it's producing. So, yeah, it sounded like, I don't know if Larry Potts is on, but he met that buyer he was talking about it on Monday down in Tampa. So I'm on a mission. You know, buyers want different things. That's just what you're going to find. So, who else? Nobody, huh? Somebody has a question. I could be wrong, but I feel like somebody does. I think I only – we must have a busy group tonight because I think I remember only a couple chimes coming in.
Hi, Dennis.
Excuse me. What's that?
This is Dennis. I was just –
Hey, Dennis.
I'm checking in. How's it
How
going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I got my first closing this week, tomorrow.
I love it.
And I'm still
–
Say it again.
Tell us about the deal.
Oh, that was the one I got it for let me see. I gotta pull it up. I just got it for 65 and I sold it for 68 to a investor realtor. And he is listing my other properties for me now at a flat rate. So he's helping me with my other properties. I gave him a little bit off of a discount, and he's working with me to list my other properties. And he's I got his buying formula now. He's 1% buyer, and we're moving forward that way. So I have a couple of properties that I'm pushing through him, and I'm also closing in on a couple other contracts that I have out. I had a lot of delay because of the snowstorms in the Raleigh dorm area. They're not used to snow.
They were brutal, right? We saw it on the news out here in Denver.
They're not used to snow in that area, so the whole town shut down for a couple of weeks. And the other area I'm working is Louisville, Kentucky, and that area has been snowed in. So I'm like, wow. So I've had a little trouble getting through. So I'm ramping back up.
The joke around Denver is that it snows an inch out east, and they shut the whole town down, and we just kind of laugh at it because that's just kind of a way of life out here. But if the municipalities aren't ready for it, that creates a mess, no doubt about it. So
they didn't know what to do.
This one that closes tomorrow, was this a vacant? Where did this lead come from?
It was a vacant in Durham. I had a bird dog go out and look up some vacants for me. I only got 25 out of the 25. I got 5 of them that I'm actually working that'll probably turn into contracts. One, the lady is out of the country, and we settled on a price, and she doesn't get back to country to the 22nd of February. So when she gets back, we're going to sign all the paperwork. I'm going to send my representative over there, do a walkthrough, and we're going to get that deal closed and sold also.
I love it. So we've got a case study to record here. Shoot me an email after that thing closes tomorrow when it's signed, sealed, delivered. And then we'll set up something for Monday or Tuesday so we can get a case study recorded. So that's awesome, man. So, and I love that. You know, negotiation 101 is if you're going to give something, you got to get something, which you did. So you said, you know, to this real estate agent, I'll give you a discounted price on this one, but you're going to get future services at a better price. So you got the better end of that one, especially if you have a long-term relationship with this person. Do you think they'll buy more deals from you?
Yes. I actually have another one that I got in my pocket until we close this one, and then I'm gonna send it his way after we close. I want to confuse him.
So you're selling it for 68? Is that what you told me?
Yes.
68,000. And is this a rental or is this a fix and flip deal?
This is a rental.
Okay. How much work does it need?
It's rent ready.
Okay, so it's ready to rock and roll. And what does it rent for?
700.
How many beds, baths, and square feet?
2 bedrooms, 1 bath, about 900 square feet.
Okay, rents for 700, and they're buying it for 68,000. Is that the right number?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. 700. This is that lower cap buyer that we're talking about. 700 times 70% is 490 times 12, 5880 net annual rents. Divided by 58,000, 10 cap deal. Beautiful. There's a 10 cap turnkey investment, just like that.
Yeah. The only one thing I did have to ask, it's a Section 8 deal, and he wasn't sure how to transfer the Section 8 stuff, but you know, I guess they do all that at the closing table, right?
Yeah, I tell you what, get out ahead of it. I don't have a ton of experience with Section 8, but you can always just go, you know, to your title company, you know, call the local Section 8 office, call another Section 8 landlord, something like that, and just ask the right questions. So, yeah, make sure. But to my knowledge, there isn't anything specific that needs to be done. You can certainly transfer ownership. But, yeah, double check. And just get out ahead of it.
Okay.
So.
All right.
You're kind of a. What time does it close tomorrow?
I'm not sure. I got some East Coast friends that have Section 8, so I'm gonna give them a call after we get off here and see what they normally do when they sell their properties or if they buy a property.
There's got to be something because obviously the check now is going to go to a different place. So who do you notify? How do you notify them? What's the process? But clearly this happens all the time. So I would imagine it's not rocket science, but yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is great stuff. Are you doing just a $3,000 assignment? Are you double closing it? Or
yeah, $3,000 assignment.
So you're walking away with three even. Love it. And then
yes.
how many more dentists do you have in the pipeline?
I missed that. How many more?
How many more do you have in the pipeline? You said you had a couple others working.
I got the one that's closing, the one I get the contracts on the 22nd. I got another one under contract that I got a buyer going in this week because of the snowstorms. He wasn't able to do the inspection. And I got one more. So I have three other ones in the pipeline that I'm trying to get closed in February. Yes.
Three more after this one. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking to the sellers or do you have a acquisitions person doing it?
I'm talking to the sellers on these right here. This is a market I've been working. My Louisville market, I'm trying to get somebody to, that's why I'm trying to get the, that's the one I'm still working on my leads and stuff in.
Gotcha. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Nothing better than closings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've been talking to buyers in that market. Trying to find some landlord buyers. That's I'm always like finding landlord buyers because it's easy to sell a flip because those are harder to find. But the landlord buyers.
Where are you at with getting an acquisitions person on board? Because I know you've got, you know, being out of the country, you've got some crazy hours. You need somebody here stateside. Do you have somebody yet?
No, I don't have anybody hired yet. I have been trying to get that taken care of. That's the next thing I have on my list that I need to knock out. I'm going to try to take care of that this weekend.
Yep. Generate leads. Make offers, right? And find buyers.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it on Monday. I don't know if you were with us Monday or not, but you figure out those three things. And that's really what this whole program is built around. And how do you, right? How do you do it? How do you systematize it so that all those things happen without your direct input? But that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
You get somebody because you're doing it. You're hitting the phones, making offers. Obviously, you've got deals getting to the closing table. Now, I want you to get all of that outsourced so that you're just overseeing this whole thing. So if you keep working your own market, great. But get somebody on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Working leads in your second market, and now you're going to be twice as effective. Plus, somebody in the States, they can just be on the phone more than you can, or you're going to have to be up all hours of the night, you know, get up at 4 in the morning to make phone calls or whatever the case. But let's get that outsourced. I'm always going to congratulate closings. I want to move to the point where you say, I didn't talk to the seller. I didn't make the offer. Person on my team did. I just oversaw this whole thing, and I'm still getting a paycheck tomorrow. That's where we want to get it. All right?
Okay. Yes.
Beautiful. Okay. Good stuff.
All right.
I love when the vacant leads, you know, I mean, obviously, we know they perform. That's why we start there. It's just, you know, this is good stuff. I love it. One in the pipe, three more lined up for February. You know, let's try and get a couple more in the pipeline for February, especially in that secondary market. Keep the leads coming in, find a salesperson, and, you know, it's an offer a day. You got to tell them. We make an offer a day. That's what we do.
All right.
And, you know, you're free to make more than that. The minimum is you got to make an offer a day. I'm at the point now where we've been looking for some additional salespeople. I've got Chris. I got a guy, Blaine, that started yesterday. And I've got a gal that's starting on Saturday, right? So now the business is going to go. It's the same for everybody. Hey, listen, the minimum is an offer a day. You know, we'll give you the first week, maybe two, to figure this out. But if we're not making an offer a day in 14 days, we got to find somebody else. And so now, on behalf of the business, you know, imagine when this thing gets moving, we got 3 offers a day going out, and that's the minimum. Of course, you can do more and that kind of thing, but that's where we start to get scale built. And, you know, you want to do, you've got a deal this month, 3 lined up next month. You know, where do you want to get it to? 5 a month, 10 a month, 15 a month? Depends on where it is, but you can track all of that back to how many offers are we making on a daily basis.
All right.
So, yeah, good stuff, man.
All right.
Good stuff. Closing deals from Japan in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's cool. But any other questions?
Yeah, no, that was it.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure I call somebody about that Section 8 tonight.
Yeah. See if you can, yeah. You're going to have to transfer it somehow, obviously, right? So the paycheck goes to the rent check goes to the right place. So.
Right.
Yep. Make sure that transfer's over smooth. And what time is everybody signing tomorrow?
I'm not sure. I talked to the closing agent, and they use attorneys, and he said, you know, everything is set for tomorrow. There's no hiccup.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, because you're being the dispositions person for now. When you run dispositions, you want to know as much of the detail involved, where's the money coming from, who's the buyer, what time are they selling, what closing, what's the location, what's all of that, right? So it sounds like this one's going to be just fine, but there are coming times when you are going to have to get involved and push closings over the finish line, and the only way that's going to be possible is if you have your finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. Now, when you have a dispositions person in place, you want to train them to do that, or a transaction coordinator, whoever you bring on the team. But my recommendation, like I said, it sounds like this one's okay. My recommendation is, I mean, this is your paycheck we're talking about, and so I want to know as much detail as I possibly can on when this is going to go down, when should I expect to be paid, who's signing at what time, what location, all that stuff. So just moving forward, remember that, you know, there's coming a time when something goes sideways and you're going to want to know all those details. So if you have to jump in last minute, you can try and keep everybody on track. So.
Okay.
I'm only throwing that in because I asked you a question and you said, I don't know. So.
Right. Because I reached out to make sure that everything was still taking place, but that was all the information I got. I need to know what time it's happening and other things. So, okay, that makes sense.
I would if I were you. Yep. And then you want that closer to say, as soon as this thing is signed, sealed, delivered, excuse me, ask if they'll please send you an email to this address. Mm-hmm. You know, typical closing should, you know, this is moving from a seller to an investor buyer. Shouldn't take very long.
Mm-hmm.
Half hour, 45 minutes tops. So if this thing's happening at 1 o'clock, right, you're doing the math, you know, I should be getting an email you from 2. So, you know, can you please email me as soon as it's done? And then make sure, you know, exactly how you're getting your funds and all that stuff goes through. So, yep. Make sure you have your, just like I said, make sure you've got your finger on the pulse of everything that's going on, because that's your paycheck, and you don't want somebody else throwing a wrench in your paycheck. So,
all right.
Yep. And what you're going to find is that nobody cares about getting the deal closed as much as you do, as much as you and I do. Right.
Okay.
I mean, your sales team will, right? They're getting paid off it, but the title rep, you know, their day will be okay if the deal doesn't close. So I'm just saying, make sure you know exactly what's going on deals moving forward.
So. Okay.
Yes, sir. Good stuff. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. What other questions? Dennis, it was good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you on a couple calls here, so glad you're doing well. And then you check back in, and your next update that I get from you is a closing tomorrow, so that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been busy.
Yes.
Good stuff. I'm telling you, when it, you know, that next level is when it's leveraged. I didn't generate the lead. I didn't skip trace the lead. I didn't call the seller. I didn't make the offer. And I'm getting paid tomorrow. That's where you want to get this.
Yes, I'm definitely looking at getting my team in place. That's my next big project.
Absolutely. Yeah, don't stop what you're doing. Just get your team in place and let them start to, you know, pitch in and take over.
Okay.
Because if everything runs through you, it won't scale. Can't.
Right.
Impossible. You know, you're gonna become the biggest problem or the biggest hindrance to the business if you don't learn to get out of the way.
Right.
It's just easier to learn to get out of the way early than later on. So. Yep.
Yeah, I don't want to be the roadblock in my business.
You don't, and that's what'll happen. That's exactly what'll happen. You'll have really good intentions, but at the same time, you'll be the roadblock, and that'll be frustrating. Mm-hmm. And so let's just get you out of the way as early as possible.
Okay.
Still got to be involved. Just get out of the way. Who else?
All right.
Is that it for today? All right, everybody. Yeah, just a few of you checking in, but all good stuff happening. So everybody else is busy. That happens. Life happens. And yeah, great stuff, everybody. Let's, you know, it's all about those offers. How many offers can we get out on a daily basis? And then, you know, you start saying, hey, I've got a closing tomorrow, like Dennis has here. So keep your feet on the gas. You know, Dennis, have a great morning. I know you're just getting your day started over there. Everybody else have a great afternoon or evening. And, you know, let's have a good weekend. We can be productive over the weekend. You know, that's the other cool thing is our sales guys are, you know, I'm usually hanging with the family on Saturday, but we've got offers going out on Saturdays. And our, you know, our sales team, you know, just depending. That's the other thing. When you get to multiple people, you can have a Monday, Friday. You can have a Tuesday through Saturday person, that kind of thing. And, you know, it's cool to be out with the family and know that, you know, deals are getting made and offers are getting done.
Yeah.
So that's where you want to get to. So, yeah, good stuff, everybody. Stay on it. Any questions, obviously, get them into the coaching email, and we'll chat again on Monday. Sound good?
All right, sounds good.
Okay, take care.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Yep.
Have a good one.
You too.
Clark. Hello? Hello, anybody there? Hello, hello.